Okay, so fine. So let's get started. So we are holding at the beginning of the third parak, the Zayin Amud Beis. Okay. Mishnah says, "Elu kodshim shavu b'sein or tzmur b'sein kayotze b'hem." The following kodshim, we're going to go through in the parak different kinds of kodshim. What the rules of them are as far as the babies of the kodshim, if they can be females, which of course is not true of all of them, and what the din and what the dinim are as far as their tumoris. So the Mishnah starts off. Vlad shlomim. So if you have a baby of shlomim, which a shlomim can be a female animal, therefore it can have a vlad, utmuratan or tumura of a shlomim, vladon or vlad vladon, or the baby of the tumura, or the baby of the baby of the shlomim or the tumura, and it was indefinite one, Absoy kolarim until the end of the world, meaning indefinitely. Aren't shlomim. Those babies or those tumuras, or the babies of the tumuras, or whatever the case may be, themselves are like shlomim, which unin smicha and asacha, but tuchas chaz v'shoy. They require, like the shlomim themselves, you have to be smicha on them, you have to bring the asacha with them, and you have to waive the chaz v'shoy. Just like the shlomim themselves.
No.
There's no difference between them and the shlomim themselves. We learned at the end of the Chorus a similar concept when we talked about what happened with the 11th animal that was mistakenly called tent. We talked about that animal was brought to the shlomim, and then we had the opinion of the mayor, Achayim actually instead of there, who said that it could make a tumura. That it could produce a tumura, and what do you mean? If it does, even in itself like a tumura, and the mayor says, you know, the basic idea is, whether we consider it a tumura or not, either way, the tumura of the shlomim is brought to the shlomim, and the Mishnah is saying that the same thing is true also as far as the baby animal of the shlomim, or the second or third or fourth generation or whatever from the shlomim, and the same thing as far as the tumura. Okay. But it must be. Given the ton of blood and of vlad blood, once the Mishnah says that this is true of the baby of the shlomim or the tumura, or the vlad blood on the baby of the baby, etc., atzos kolar elam lamali. So why does it need to say atzos kolar elam until the end of the world? What does that ask? The answer is tani didan shame l'Rabbi Yezer. The answer is the Tana of our Mishnah had a third Rabbi Yezer, who was in the Omar, that he says in the next Mishnah, Yerchesem and Aleph, he says, Vlad Shlomim lo yigrab Shlomim, that he disagrees and says that the baby of a Shlomim is not brought to the Shlomim. What do you do with it instead, according to Rabbi Yezer? Rashi says, Yomus, you have to leave it to die, like the Hataris HaMesis that we learned about in the previous Perek. Rabbi Gershom says that maybe what it means is Roya, that you would leave it to graze until it develops a mole. Whatever it is, the point is Rabbi Yezer says the Vlad Shlomim is not brought to the Shlomim. But Amalei Tana Didan, therefore the Tana of our Mishnah is saying, why is he adding the word that's so far of them? He says, Loi Mikvaya the Vlad and Loi Medina, not only when it comes to the baby of the Shlomim or the Tumura itself, that I don't agree with you, and I say it is brought to the carbon, El Afilu, Ad So Far of them, Loi Medina Loch, even if you go until the end of the world, I also don't agree with you. I would hold that regardless, we always bring them as Shlomim. The point being, why do the Chachamim need to stress that? Because the whole reason why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you don't bring them as Shlomim is because he's concerned of the idea that Gemara mentioned later on, and here in the process, Shema Yigadol Mahem Adori Madori. You may try to keep them around in order to raise herds and herds. And you're going to figure this way, okay, so I have a bunch of animals that have to be brought to the Shlomim, big deal, I might as well this way instead of having to every time buy an animal or designate an animal of my own a Shlomim, I may as well raise these animals and they'll be a Shlomim automatically. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, we're not going to allow you to bring them a Shlomim. You would think that the Chachamim would say, okay, once you see that we're talking about Wadon or whatever, maybe there's good reason to think that he is actually going to do that. And therefore, we shouldn't allow them to bring out the carbon. Therefore, they use the expression "outside Fatherland." That doesn't matter. We can always bring out the carbon. Okay. fine. So where do we know this from? This has said that the black shlomim and tzurah shlomim, et cetera, that they're like the shlomim themselves. Where do we know that from? So look at this. The Tanan Abonim, we learn in a braisa, when it says, when the Torah introduces the concept of shlomim, the pasuk starts by saying that if you bring it from the cattle, then it can be male or female. So zachar, the rabbis is a blah. The word zachar, the word male over there, comes to include not only the original animal is born of the shlomim, but also if you have a baby of the shlomim, that it itself is also born of the carbon. So the Gemara says, why do we need the pasuk to tell us? Wouldn't we be able to make it a kavachomer? Umat tmura she'en gidulei hektish, madach tmura, which does not grow from something of hektish, because it started out, it wasn't born to a kachim animal, and nevertheless kreva. Yet, as the Gemara is going to, as the Braita is going to continue, you do bring it as a shlom in the tmura. Vlad she'gidulei hektish, well, that's a vlad, which was actually born and grew from something of kachim, ain't it? Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that you should bring it as a carbon? So why do you need the word zachar to tell us that? My answer is that Bryce rather answers no. Malat tmura shekein lehegis b'chalakotchin. No, because the din of tmura that you bring, that the din of tmura applies to all kotchin. All kotchin are yachid. Okay, we learned before that the tzibur's karbonis don't have a tmura, but among the various types of karbonis that yachid brings, all of them have the concept of tmura. Tome of a vlad chain and nose b'chalakotchin. How can you compare that to a vlad, which doesn't come from all kotchin because it only applies to the ones that can come from female animals? So, for example, there's no such thing as a vlad of an oila, because an oila is always a male animal. Same thing with an osham, same thing with a korban pesach, same thing with a bechor. So you have a number of different categories of korbanos where the concept of vlad doesn't apply. So you would argue, maybe then in that case, you don't put in the vlad of the korban. So given that vlad doesn't apply to all the kachim, it only applies to a subset of them, you would think, therefore, that maybe you should not bring it as a carbon. No, therefore, we have the word zachar, teaches us that nevertheless you do offer the vlad itself as a carbon. Okay. Continues the Braith. In the Keva, Lurabas is a tmura. Then when the pasuk had mentioned male or female, so male we said comes to include the vlad, and female, the Keva, comes to include the tmura. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon, we're going to bring soon after we finish the Braith, so we're going to ask the question, why specifically are we learning the vlad from Docher and tmura from the Keva? Why not the other way around? We'll get to that soon. So from the word nekeva, So the word nekeva comes to include that also this din applies to a tmura as well. Okay, continues the braisa. Now, if you only have the word zachar in the keva, you would think that the animal itself that we're talking about being the original animal that we're talking about being brought to the korban, obviously at the time. So you would think, therefore, that the zachar in the keva comes to include only if it's a vlad of a tam or a tmura of a tam. Vlad bali mumin or tmuras bali mumin minayin. How do we know the same thing would apply if it was a baby or a tmura of a bali mum? Tam of lomer, im zachar, what happens to vlad bali mumin? Therefore, the pasuk adds, the pasuk doesn't just say zachar in a favor, it says im zachar im nekeva. So the word im, what happens to tmuras bali mumin, that comes to include also the tmura of a bali mum. Okay. The Shikamu Kobetas adds a line in every year that's missing in our Gemara, the same way as in the first half of the Braisa, when we mentioned that the word Zohar comes to include a Vlad, and we asked why do we need to say that if we could learn it by a Kavachoma from Tmura, and we said you would need to, because after all, Tmura applies to all Korbanos and Vlad doesn't. So the Shikamu Kobetas brings on the side over here a similar thing that the Gemara asks. Once we've established that the Vlad is brought as a Korban, why do we need a separate thing in the pasuk to tell us that the tmura is also brought? The Girsay brings is actually in the original Bryce and Protos Kayaman. because Vlad, on the one hand, because Vlad has an advantage over Tmura, as we said before, Zule Hektish, it actually grew in the womb of an animal of Karchim, as opposed to Tmura, is not. So you would think maybe, therefore, it should be a weaker status, even though I'm going out of carbon. Okay, so the bottom line is that both the Vlad and the Tmura are brought as co-elements, and we learn it from these respective words, Zachar and Nekeva, and from Im Zachar in Nekeva, we learn that this would also be true even if the animal, even if the mother animal or the original animal, Karchim, from which you made the Tmura, was a Baal Mum. Okay. Omalei of Safra Labaya, sort of Safra Asabaya, the Epochana, why don't we flip it around? Why are we saying Gavka that from Zachar, we learn it from Zohar, we're learning Vlad, and from Nekeva, we're learning Tmura. Maybe the other way around. So Abaya answers. Now Abaya apparently understood the question to be not that we should flip around Zohar and Nekeva, but figuring that we should flip around that the im in each case is marbed the other one. So Abaya says Mistaber Lamakim Shinisrab Sutmuras Timin Misrab Sutmuras Bali Mumin. It's logical to say that the same place, the same part of the pasuk from which you're including the Tmura of the Tamim is where you're also including the Tmura of the Bali Mumin. So if you're learning the Tmura from the Keva, then it makes sense. You're learning the Tmura of a Tmimer from the Keva, and you're learning the Tmura of a Baal Tmum from in the Keva. No reason to think otherwise. But on the lay, but if Safra says, Mikam Minaloch Leipuch Im Zachar in the Keva, or you think that I'm just asking we should flip around the Jerushas that we're learning from the word Im? No, I'm not calling for a comment. No, I'm asking why don't we flip around all the Jerushas in the pasuk? The Ema Zohar Rabbis of Tmura Nekeva Ba Rabbis of what? Say the other way around. That the word Zohar comes to include the Tmura, and then Nekeva comes to include the Vlad. Why would he argue that Nekeva should apply more to the Vlad? Because how do you have a Vlad from a Nekeva, from a female animal? So therefore, he figures it's more logical that when you're talking about a female, you're also including what a female can produce, namely a Vlad. And then once we do that, then we would say the Zohar refers to the Tmura, and the respective ends of them, okay, refer to the Vlad or the Tmura of the Baal Mum. Why don't we do it that way? On the list, Abaya says, you have to look at the grammar of it. Vlad, Lashem, Zohar, Mashma. Tmura, Lashem, Nekeva, Mashma. Very simple. The word Vlad is a masculine, is a word of masculine gender, regardless of whether the baby is a male or a female. Either way, the word Vlad itself is Lashem, Zohar. And on the other hand, the word Tmura, again, whether the original animal or whether the substitute animal or whatever is a male or a female, either the Tmura is Lashem, Nekeva, Mashma, is feminine. And therefore, it's more logical that you're going to learn the word Vlad. You're going to learn the concept of Vlad from the word in the Pasuk Zachar and the concept of Tmura from the word in the Pasuk Nekeva. Okay. So far, so good then. So that's where we know the basic concept that Vlad and Tmura are broader, of Shlomim are broader the carbon. Now, though, we mentioned the Vlad of a Baal Mum. So the question is, why Hilsa? When it comes to the baby of the Baal Mum, so you had an animal of Shlomim that became a Baal Shlomim, and then now it had a baby, and the baby has Kedusha. So to what extent do we actually bring it as a carbon or not? Amar Shmuel Likrab. So Shmuel says, yes, it means even to bring the baby as a carbon. The Avdik of Rabbi Lazar. Namely, that would be according to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar later on, on Yud-Chesamah Day, says, suppose that a person designated a female animal as an Ova, which was no such thing, although it's a male animal. And now let's say that animal that he was makdish as an Ova, suppose it gave birth to a male. So Rabbi Lazar says, the male, the baby is born as an Ova. It comes from a Kedusha Dechuya. The mother itself was not able to, the mother itself was pushed off from being born as an Erla because she's a female and females are not Erlas. Nevertheless, though, the Vlad is Roy, and therefore you can bring it as a carbon. The Chachamim there disagree. The Chachamim say that just like the mother herself is obviously not born as an Erla, and what are you doing with the mother herself? Everybody agrees to this part. Is you would have to leave her to graze until she develops a womb, and then you sell her and use the money to buy a male animal for an Ola, the Chachamim hold exactly the same would be true of the baby of this female Ola. Well, by the same logic then, says Shmuel, the same machlokes would apply. The same machlokes would apply in this case. Therefore, when it comes to the same thing, the mother animal cannot be brought to the carbon. In this case, because not because she's a female, we're talking about a shlomim, and a shlomim can be a female, but we're talking about because she's a balas mum. Therefore, the Malazu would say it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, the baby is an independent entity, and therefore you can bring it to the carbon on its own. And the Chachamim would say that not. The point is, though, so why, according to the Lazo, do we have to be told that also when the mother is a Baal Mum, do you bring the baby as a carbon? You would think like this. The Mauda came, and you would think otherwise like this. Ki Ka'amar of a Lazo, Ola, you know when the Lazo is talking about his din, is when the mother was designated as an Ola. Ika shame Ola al-Ima, because after all, there is the name of an Ola on the mother. Because after all, it's true that when it comes to four-legged animals, when it comes to behema, there is no such thing as a female animal for an ola. But you also have the name ola also applies to an ola sa'if. And as we've learned before, an ola sa'if can be a male or female bird. So therefore, you would argue that You can't say, in other words, you can't say that the name Ola never applies to a female, because there you have an example where the name Ola actually does apply to a female. Granted, it's a different species; it's a bird rather than an animal, but still, it applies. Okay, Tosfos—that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has problems with that. They don't like that explanation of Rashi. They say what it means is that, after all, it's true you can't bring a female animal to an Ola, but it has kedusha hagruf to the extent that you can't be poyder that it, just like you makdish an animal with a korban, you can't be poyder as long as it's a tummy. We've learned about this before. You have to wait till it develops a lump. Well, here, even though it's a female animal and it's not itself suitable to be brought as an ola, nevertheless, it still has kedusha hagruf to the extent that you can't be poyder till it develops a lump. So therefore, you could argue, Rabbi Elazar would say, that's when we say, after all, the mother does have a certain strong kedusha. Again, like according to Rashi, either because the name Ola can apply to a female as well when it comes to an Ola size, or according to Tosfos, because the din of kedusha like Guf do apply to that mother, and you can't be poed to her until she has a name. But Abel Hani Vladis like Harvey, but you could argue when it comes to the babies of Bali Mumin, you could say even Rabbi Elazar would say that maybe you don't bring them as a carbon, because after all, there's no such thing as a carbon that has a mum. And by the way, even now it's true that Rashi points out you could say the same thing. Okay, but a bird can be grown with a mum, so one should say the same thing. The mother that a Baal Mum is not necessarily completely excluded from being brought to the carbon. Rashi points out, sure, but here we're talking about a shlamim. There's no such thing as a shlamim from a bird. The only kind of bird carbonus are oila and chafas. So when it comes to a shlamim, there are such things as female animals, no problem. The mother is not excluded from being a shlamim on the grounds of being a female, but she's excluded from being a shlamim on the grounds of being a balas mum, and there's never an exception to that rule. There's never a shlamim that is brought that is a balas mum. So therefore, you would think that that means that mother animal has a very weak kedusha, and maybe therefore that kedusha doesn't transfer to the child, and the child itself would not be brought as a shlamim. Therefore, kamash malan. Therefore, we would say that's why the prophet stresses with the words in the keva that never in zocher rather than nevertheless you do. Okay, so that was all Shmuel's. That was all Shmuel's explanation. That when we say over here that the Vlad that Vlad balas mum. It has kedusha from the words in zocher. Shmuel says that means even as far as being makriv of the korban. Okay, Bar Pada has a different understanding. He says l'ri'iya. We don't mean that you actually bring the vlad shlomim as a korban. We just mean insofar as that you leave it to graze until it develops a mum. And then and then in that case we don't have to resort to the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim and say that the braisa that we quoted before is only according to Rabbi Elazar. We could say everybody would agree to it according to Bar Pada. We could say that the same we, we could say exactly what Bhakada would say. We do use the law that we just said, that there's a difference between a female for an Ola versus a Balas Mum for a Shlomim. Greater Balazar would say a female for an Ola has a certain degree of stronger Kedusha, either, again, because the name, because there is such a thing as a female Ola, a bird, or because the mother herself has Kedusha Zeguf. But there's no such thing, but that doesn't apply to a Baal Mum or a Shlomim. Therefore, a Bhakada would say we do use the same exact logic that Shmuel had said that Rebbe Elazar rejects. Rebbe Elazar, Bhakada would say Rebbe Elazar would agree with that logic. Therefore, according to him, he would also say that the vlad Balas Mum is not being brought to the carbon itself. You're just leaving it to graze. Okay. In fact, the Gemara says the Itmar, actually, it was said that there's a similar machlokes of later on the Rav. Rava Amar Likra, Val Libra de Rav Elazar, Rapapa Amar Le'ia, Val Libra de Yerahakel. Rava and Rapapa have the same machlokes. Rava agrees with Shmuel's understanding, and Rapapa agrees with Bhakada's understanding. Okay. Fine. Then the Gemara says, so far we started with the Braisa that learned from the words, in Zohar, in the Keva, that from there we learned this concept of Vlad and Tumura being brought as the same kind of carbon. So the Gemara says, Vahai Tana Maisha Vanahacha. Now there's another Tana who learned this concept from a different Pasuk. You have like this. There's a Pasuk in Parashat Re'eh that goes like this. Rak Kodashecha Asher Yilachar Nirgarecha. The Pasuk says, However, your kodshim, which you will have, and your nidorim, tisa uva. So you should carry and you should bring, you should carry and you should come, elamokam, Hashem, you Hashem for the place that Hashem will choose. So the Braisa darshins, what do we learn from each phrase in this pasuk? Rak kodashecha elohem tmurais. The words rak kodashecha refer to tmurais. Asher yilachar elohem vlodis. And the words asher yilachar, which will be to you, that refers to the vlodis. So the pasuk is saying that both the Torahs and the Vlodis have to be brought as a carbon. In other words, because the point is that we don't need to say that the pasuk is telling us that there's a mitzvah to bring the animal itself as a carbon, the animal that you makdish. That's obvious, and you know that's not a pasukim. So it must be that this pasuk is coming to teach us something else, namely about the Torahs and Vlodis. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Now, why does it need to continue and say, you should carry and you should come? What are those words adding? You would think maybe the mitzvah to do with the vlodis and tmuras, maybe it's you don't actually bring it as a carbon. Maybe all it is you're required to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, but the yimna mehem mayim and mazim kadesh yamusu, and then at that point you deny them food, you deny them water and food in order that they die. In other words, maybe you do treat them like the chataris hamesis, but you're obligated maybe first to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and then make them like the chataris hamesis over there. So how do you know that not? Talmud Maimav, Asi Sa'il Asacha, Basav Adam. Therefore, the Pasuk says, not just you pick them up and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, but the next Pasuk continues. You should offer your oilus, the blood and the meat and the blood. Meaning, Kederach Sha'atanoiz Ba'olah, Atanoiz B'tmura. Meaning, the same thing you do with the oilah itself is the same thing you do with the tmura. Kederach Sha'atanoiz B'shlomim Atanoiz B'vlod B'shlomim over tmura. And the same thing that you would do with the original shlomim itself, the same thing you do with the vlad and with the tmura, you do actually bring them as a carbon. You don't treat them like a v'chatoris hamesis, you bring them to your shalayim at the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of being mad with them. Then the Braisa continues, Yoho Kol HaKodshim Tein. Okay, so then you would think maybe that applies to all different kinds of Kodshim, and we're going to learn in our Perek that that's not the case, because some Kodshim we are Makriv, there's Wadis and Tumoris, but some of them not. We've already learned in previous Perek about Chathos, that Vlad Chathos and Tumunas Chathos are two of the Chathoris Amesis, and we're going to learn in our Perek that there are a few other types of Kodronis where you don't bring the Tumura or the Vlad, as the same kind of carbon. So you would think if you only had the words Rak Kodeshecha Sheyu L'chah Tiso Uvasa, you would think that applies to all cultures. No, Tamar Bainer Rak. Therefore, the pasuk starts off by saying only, and the word Rak is always a mute. So therefore, it means that you're excluding certain kinds of carbonus. Give it Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need the word Rak for that. Harehu oimer oshamhu, osham, 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 and it's actually referring to a different pasuk, osham, where the pasuk just says oshamhu. You have a pasuk in the section about a korban osham in Parshas Tzav that says oshamhu, it is an osham, and from that we learn that word hu means hu korban, and the entmona se kreva. It means only the osham itself is being brought to the korban, not its tmona. Okay, so this last price of the year, therefore, gives us a different source where we know that Vlodis and Tmuris are brought as a carbon, as the same kind of carbon. The first Braisa learned it from Im Zachar in the Tefa. The second Braisa over here is learning it from Kodashacha Asher Yulacha Kodashacha Asher Yulacha Tisova. Okay. Now let's analyze that Braisa. Omamar Tisova. That's what we said. When the Pasuk says you should pick up the carbon and you should come to the business, we said Yachol Yachnisenu Lebeis Abchira. It says you would think, the Braisa had said, you would think that you should bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, and there you should leave it to die. And therefore, Vasita Reisacha tells us not, you actually bring it to the carbon. You must have Menotesi. Where do you get the idea that you would leave them to die? Ha, kiven de gamri chomesh chatoris. We already learned in the previous parak, we learned that the halacha l'mashim has seen that there's five types of chatoris that are left to die, and they include vlad chatos and tumunas chatos. The implication is obviously that only applies to chatos, but hanach nikur karbi. Evidently, the implication is other types of korbanos, you do bring the vlad or the tumura as a korban. Why would we think that shlomim and olos and the various other categories of korbanos should be like the chatos in that regard? The answer is now the tumah. The answer is, the Gemara says, now the Tema. Yeah, but if you didn't have the Pasuk, you would think like this. There's, all of them are Mesis, but Chomesh Chatoris Mesis B'chol Mokrim. You would think that the Chomesh Chatoris are those that Allah Chomesh Mishnah is. You don't have to take them to the business. Anywhere where they are, you lock them up, and they're in their Mesis. V'hanach Yemusu B'beit HaBchira. You would think that maybe when it comes to Vlad and Tmura of Shlomim, or Loro, what have you, that maybe they're also mesis, but it has to have to be done in the Beis Hamikdash. Kamash Malan, and therefore the pasuk says that no, they are actually brought to the curtain. Okay. The Braisa continues. Omar, we said in the Braisa, Yachol Achtal Akotshim. We said you would think that this concept of Vlad and Tmura being brought as a korban applies to all types of kachim. Talmud by Rak Kodashacha. Therefore, the prophet instead says only your kachim, and the word Rak instead of the mute. So the Gemara asks Vlad the man. Okay, which kind, baby of what kind of korban are we saying that the prophet is telling us you don't bring another korban? What type of baby is there that we need that word Rak to tell us? The word for you brought as a korban, and the prophet is telling you that now. E ola, are you talking about the baby of an ola? There's no such thing. Zachol the lab by a baby. An ola is an animal ola is always a male. And by the way, this is from the first part. There's no such thing as tmura. By bird korbanos, only animal korbanos. And as far as vlad, apparently, I guess the Gemara is assuming that vlad wouldn't apply either because If the ola is a female bird and it lays an egg, by the time the egg hatches, that's already considered a separate entity, and it wouldn't necessarily be considered vlad. Now, vlad, we're talking about when you have an animal that gives birth to live young. So if you're talking about the vlad of an ola, there's no such thing. Zachar u vlad bar elodigu. An ola is always a zachar; it doesn't give birth. The id chatos. Are you talking about the vlad of a chatos? You don't need really lots of lemisitai. We have a halacha lemishim sinai that it goes lemisa, and in fact, by definition, a halacha lemishim sinai is something that there's no hint for in the pasuk. So obviously, the word rak in the pasuk can't be teaching us a halacha lemishim sinai; otherwise, it's not called a halacha lemishim sinai. The e osham, are you e or e osham or e osham? Are you going to tell me that it's coming to the mind? Lot of an osham. Now, of course, the Gemara could have answered, so it's the Gemara could have said, well, we use the same answer, that an osham is also a male and therefore doesn't have babies, but you might want to give a different answer. But you don't need that anyway. Community law, we know in the halacha l'moshe Sinai that any case where an animal that has kedusha of osham is not being brought as an osham, it always goes off to pasture. We have a general rule that any case, any of the five cases whereby a chatas is going on the aser, we learned in the previous pedek, then if a parallel case happens with an asham, and not all of them can happen by an asham, not by an asham. The other ones, the tura, iskapru balea, avrashnasa, and mesu and mesu balea, those four you could have by an asham. But the halacha is that in all those cases it would be roya, you would leave it to graze. So we already know that, so you don't need the word rak to teach us that. Now, Tosfos points out, actually, there's an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam in our sugya and in some other places that that really the original halacha l'meishu misina Rabbeinu Tam learns was that the osham in these cases would be gura than oila. This whole concept that we don't bring the actual animals in oila, that instead we leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then we sell it. There's money to buy an oila. Rabbeinu Tam learns that that whole concept is only dirabon. In which case, Tosfos says, well, then if the original halacha was that you bring it as an oila, then why don't we say that when it comes to a vlad, you don't bring it as an oila. So Tosfos' answer is that the Gemara wants to assume that the miut is telling us that you wouldn't bring it at the same exact carbon. Now, you don't need the halacha of Moshe Mishino. You don't need, rather, the positive wrath to tell us that you're not bringing it as it already as an awesome, because you already know that from the halacha, you're not bringing it as an awesome, right? Fine, you bring the halacha about Moshe Mishino, whether you bring it as an ola, but an ola is not an awesome. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, what case is there where you have a blood and you're not bringing it as a carbon, and we know that from the word rach? We see the only cases where it seems that you would have a vlad that you're not bringing as a carbon, the only possible cases where you don't bring it as the same type of carbon is chatas, asham, is ola, well, we would say ola, chatas, and asham, and ola and asham are males, and the asham we also have a separate halacha that's goya anyway. So it's only the chatas. The chatas we have the halacha of Shemitah tonight. So what exactly are we excluding from the word rak? We're not excluding the shlomim because we said that the blood of a shlomim is brought as a shlomim. So what are we excluding? The answer is olam b'chatas. No, we are after all saying that the word rak is teaching us something about a chatas. We have the halacha of Shemitah tonight. So what do we need the word rak? Now, we have the halacha of Moshe Mishnah, as we learned in the previous paragraph, is that it has to go lesser. But you would think that maybe the diyavid, if you brought it as a carbon, it should still be kosher. Therefore, the pasuk is needed to tell us that no, you cannot bring it as a chatas. So you need two things. You need the halacha of Moshe Mishnah to tell us that it's a misa, and you need the pasuk to tell us that even the diyavid, you can't bring it as a chatas. Okay, Gemara asks, why do you need that? Those aren't two separate things. Aren't those two things interdependent? Given to the misa azra, once we're saying that it has to go to misa, minneva like karva, then obviously, as a matter of course, you're not bringing it as a carbon. Because after all, then the whole point of the halacha that it has to be tamus is that you can't bring it as an asham, and therefore halacha l'mishnah tells us that the only thing you can do with it is you let it go to misa. So you don't need so you're back to it. Once you have that halacha l'mishnah, you don't need a pasuk to tell you that you don't bring it as a carbon. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a need. But halacha l'mishnah. Now, by the way, we learned in the previous perek, we had the opinions of Rish Lakish and of Ibn Nasan that not all of the Hatoris Hamesis were originally Halacha Moshe Sinai that they have to be left to die. We said Rish Lakish had said only four of them were originally, Ibn Nasan had said only one of them was originally, but the Gemara over here seems to be taking the view that may be so. Maybe indeed Vlad was not originally meant Melissa, but the fact is there was some Halacha Moshe Sinai about it. Either the Misa or the Re'iyah, as the case may be. And either way, that halacha mishum sinai automatically implies that you don't bring it as a carbon. Otherwise, there'd be no need to say that it goes with Misa or the Re'iyah. Just say, wait until you find somebody else who needs a chatas and then sell it to him and he can use it for his chatas or whatever. So there automatically, the halacha mishum sinai implies that he needs to be able to. He can't bring it as a carbon. Okay. So we're back to the question, what are we learning from the word rak? Okay, so the Gemara says, no, well, like this. You're right. The halacha of Mishmar Sinai is specifically about the chatas. That, there are chataris hamesis, and one of them is vlad chatas. Ukra, what about the pasuk of rak is the ma'uti tmura of osham? It's coming to exclude, not the vlad, because we said an osham doesn't have a vlad, but it's coming to exclude the tmura of an osham. That you don't bring into the carbon. And again, you could have argued that we said before that it's roya. We said kol shabachatas meisa v'asham roya. So, but nevertheless, again, you need a plus to tell us that even the evidence can't bring it as an option. Okay, I should look at that. Says that now the Gemara is trying to reuse that same point because the Gemara figured, okay, it's one thing when it comes to a chatas, where it's mesa, you could say that means the dieved you can't bring it as a carbon. An asham, which is only roya, maybe the dieved you could actually bring it as an asham, and therefore you would say the pasuk would need to tell you that not. So the Gemara again says, hanami hochsev mila. We don't need that. We already have a halacha mishnah, right? As we said before, to amri kol shabachatas mesa ba'asham roya. We have a general rule that whatever case is, if one of these cases happens to the chatas instead of going to the mesa, in any such parallel case with an asham, it would be roya. So automatically, and since tumuras chatas is one of the five, then automatically tumuras asham is roya. So we have that halacha mishnah sinai. We don't need, and therefore, again, just like we said before, that the halacha mishnah sinai of chatas mesa means automatically there's no possible way you could ever bring it as a chatas. So the same thing by an asham. There's no possible way you could ever bring it as an asham. So why do we need the word lach to tell us that? Okay, so the Gemara says no. Ela krami boile. No, what it is like this. We need the pasuk like this. The pasuk comes to tell us. The pasuk comes to tell us the e over umakri that if a person was over and was makri one of these animals as a korban koy the esa, then he would be over on an isa esa. So like this was saying that vlad chatas and tmuras chatas and tmuras asham, that was saying that in the case of vlad and tmuras chatas or mesa, in the case of tmuras asham is roya. So fine, we're saying the halacha of Mishnah Sinai tells us that the mesa or roya, as the case may be, and then it means that you're not bringing under the carbon, but you could still think, but we need the pasuk also to tell us that if you are over on makri, then you should know you're being over on an esa.
But you need the pasuk for that?
You need the pasuk to tell us that you're going to be over on an esa. If you take vlad chatas or tmuras chatas or tmuras asham and you mark with it, besides the fact that you have the halacha of Moshe Sinai, which tells us that you were supposed to be meisa or roya, as the case may be, on top of that, you're actually over on a mitzvah esed yaraisa, because the pasuk is telling you that only certain vlades and tmuras are brought as a korban, implying that other ones are not, implying that the ones that we're excluding from the word rak are not. And those ones would be the tmuras chatas and tmuras asham and vlad chatas. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel was saying we would learn from the word rak. The fact that a person is over on an esser if he's macked with one of these animals. Okay. Then we continue in the book. Well, we haven't. I mean, when it comes to Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is usually Rabbi Akiva. I don't know that it's necessarily one of these cases over here where we have a psak halacha about it, because it's not necessarily relevant as far as practical halacha whether he's over on an esser or not. If a person is over on an esser. They can bring an ola if they want to be a chatter, but it's only an optional ola anyway, and a person can bring an ola completely voluntarily. So there's not necessarily an actual practical difference in halacha whether we learn a lava from the halacha or from the smach. I don't know. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva in the Sarachol, Rabbi Akiva said, I don't need to learn from the word lach, because he said, after the fact that it says Osham Hu elsewhere means Hu Kore the Ein Tmuras Ikre. But we said that the word Osham Hu means only the original Osham itself is brought to the carbon, not its Tmura. So the question is again, Lomali Kura. Why do we need the pasuk Osham Hu? Again, as we said before, we have our Lachal Moshe Sinai, kol shebachatas mesa ba'osham raya. So we know automatically that since tumuras chatas is mesa, automatically a tumuras osham is raya. So we already know that the osham, we already know that tumuras osham is not being brought as a carbon. Why do we need the word osham for that? So the man says, "Ein ochanami." Indeed, that's so. You could learn it from that halacha mishnah Sinai. El a krov amali. So what are we using the pasuk for? What are we using the word unfamiliar for? According to Rabbi Akiva, the answer is miboyle lechid Rav Huna. Rabbi Akiva will say we need those words osham to teach us a din that Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna osham shenitak l'reiya. If we have an osham that was pulled away to go and graze, so we have a case where an animal that has a kedusha of osham is removed from being able to be brought as an osham for one reason or another. We have the various cases. It could be because it becomes a tumura, or because it develops a mum, or because not it develops a mum, then you don't need the ria. If it was a tumura, or if you scattered by the bacher that it got lost and then you brought a different one and then the original one turned up, whatever it is, if it was pulled away from its original status of osham and goes out to graze, where it's supposed to, then eventually you'll use the value of it to bring an Orla. And again, Rabbeinu Tam learns over here and in other places that Midaraisa, you could even bring it itself as an Orla. It's only Midyabonam that you have to leave it till it develops a mum. So if it was Nitek L'Ri'iyah, and again, you have also Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here and in a few other places, what the Nitek consists of exactly. Does it mean that you actually sent it off to grave? Does it mean that you verbally said? Does it mean that Basin verbally told you need to do that? Or is it when you give it over to the shepherd? Whatever, there's a few different explanations. Anyway, suppose you did that, and before it developed a moon, the shepherd stam, and then you shepherded it without specifying what kind of carbon it is, kosher l'shem ola, then it is kosher as an ola. Implying nitak ein, that this din only applies, says Rav Huna, if it was actually pulled away, if something was actually done or said at least or whatever, that now it has a different status. Loi nitak ois. If it hadn't been, then no. Then it would be possible. Then it would be possible to bring it as an ola. To bring it stam, and then it would be an ola. My timer. So why is that? Rav Huna says that's what I'm going to do. The Havayasa Yehei, who means it stays in its original status. As long as it's not Nitak, then it doesn't have a different status. Then it still has the status of being an Osham. Therefore, it's separate status. And it's possible because as a second Osham, you can't be doing it because you already brought the first Osham. So it's possible for an Osham for whatever reason. And as an Ola, it's possible because it hasn't been Nitak yet. That we're learning from the word who, so that Akiva would agree with that and say that that's what we're learning from the word who. Again, this is all according to Rashi. That's the concept of that you have to have Nitak is Daraisa. According to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Tam, that the Daraisa, you could actually bring it as an Ola by itself. But therefore, they have a different view over here. They take out the word Nitak anyway, and Nitak why. They're saying that they would say, Tosfos says that the Pasuk would say, the Pasuk is just telling us that that this concept that if it was an attack, then you could bring it as an article. Okay. So that's where Rabbi Akiva would learn from that. Okay. So now we have. Okay. So again, let's we've had two different brises where we learn and we analyze both brises. We were learning the concept of lab and tumura. We had the first brisa at the beginning of the Gemara that learned them from the Zohar and the Keva. We had the second one that learned them from Kadashecha, so Yolachah, Kisa Ubasa. So the question is, Ulahai Tana, the Koyalas Mahani Kroi, according to the Tana of the second brisa, who's learning them from the word Rak Kadashecha, so why does he need it? Typically, me Zohar and the Keva. Why can't he learn it from the word Zohar and the Keva, which we said before, the first brisa is learning from there. The answer is because he would say you're learning something different from that. How can we bury like the Vlad Balagoman, the Tumuras Balagoman? He would say that the first Braisa had said that you learn from each of the words in Zohar, in the Keva, and therefore you're learning the Vlad of a Tumim and the Vlad of a Balmum, and the Vlad of a and the Tumura of a Tumim and the Tumura of a Balmum. So the first Tana had said that. the second verse doesn't hold to that. He says that from Rach Kodeshach you need to learn Vlad of Bali Mumin and Tmura of Bali Mumin. So the Gemara says why? Because typically Kula Mahaikura. Why not do like the first Tana and learn them from Im Zohar in the Keva? The answer is Im Loi Mashmali. The second Braisa doesn't hold of learning from the word Im. He says that's just the style of the pasuk. So therefore, he would say, fine, from Zohar in the Keva I can learn something, but that only tells us Vlad of a Tomim, where the mother herself could have been born of a carbon, or Tmura of a Tomim, where the original animal itself could have been born of a carbon. This is actually bring the Vlad of a Baal Mum, or the Tmura of a Baal Mum of a carbon, or at least that they have commercials like both. That we wouldn't know from the word Zohar in the Keva. He holds you can't learn it from the word Im, because that's just the style of the pasuk. Therefore, he has to learn it. Therefore, he has to learn it from Rach Kodeshach. Okay. So we want to ask now the other way around. Ulahai Tana Dinaftalei Mizohar in the Keva. Okay, how about the Tana of the first place? He learned from Im Zohar in the Keva, and he's learning both Tmimin and Balin Yemin. So according to him, what is he doing with the Tosa of Kiso Vasa, which the second Tana had used to learn about Vladis and Tmuras? The answer is he would say that Kiso Vasa is not teaching us about Vladis and Tmuras, that it is talking about the actual Kochim themselves. He says, Afkivu Mimir Aihu, the Siddush of the Tosa is Kiso Vasa, you even have to take them from their pasture. If, let's say, you sent off the animal to graze somewhere in the pasture, not so that they should develop a more memory than they sell them, but just plain that you should get there because they need to graze, because they need to eat. So you would think if they're out in the pasture, maybe the person can say, well, it's too much of a bother to go and find them right now. So therefore, I shouldn't have to bring them yet. When they eventually come back from grazing, then I'll bring them to the carbon. No, nevertheless, the pasuk is telling us, so also, you actually have to pick them up and come. You can't wait, or else you're going to be over on Baal Tanakh. Now, that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What's the logic? Why do we need a pasuk to tell us that the guy can't just be lazy and have to actually go search for the animals in order to bring them as carbonus? So Tosfos brings a couple of different explanations and a couple of different gear sizes. First of all, in the gear set, Tosfos brings from a gear from Rav Schneer, who says, in your eye means a place where they're allowed to graze. As we learned a few days ago, there was a Zeta Rabbana that you're not allowed to raise behemoth daka, small animals, sheep and goats, in Eretz Yisrael because they graze in other people's fields, etc. So therefore, Mir'ayu would mean Chutzlaretz, where there's no Zeta like that. You're allowed to raise sheep and goats there. So therefore, the pasuk is telling you that even if the animal is in Chutzlaretz, nevertheless, you're actually obligated to go and bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it would mean. And in fact, actually, the Rambam lists as one of the 613 mitzvahs, that there is actually, you have a specific mitzvah, that if you have kochim and chutzlah, that's that you're obligated to bring them to Eretz Yisrael and bring them to the mikdash and offer them as a carbon. And therefore, so that's what it means over here. Kiso also, even if the animal is grazing in a place where it's allowed to graze, namely in chutzlah, that's where you're allowed to graze the animal, nevertheless, you have to schlep and bring it to the mikdash. Lishnachrina, or another version of the last statement, is not mimir aihu, but rather mimir daihu. You even have to bring the animals from their threshing. A murad is an animal that's threshing sleep. It's a big flat piece of wood that lives at the bottom of it or embedded rocks or whatever at the bottom of it, where you have animals drag it behind them around on the grain in order to thresh it, in order to break the shells, in order to break the shells of the kernels. So in order to break the shells of the kernels, which is how you thresh. So the point is, even if the animal that you have designated for a carbon was in the middle of threshing, nevertheless, and it's time to be over the regal, you have to stop it from threshing and bring it to the carbon, because otherwise you're going to be over on Balfour. Again, Tosfos wonders, what are you talking about? If it's an animal of kochim, you weren't allowed to be doing work with it in the first place. So therefore, Tosfos brings a different explanation of mer daihu, that it means, suppose the animal is sleeping and weep.
So you would think that you should wait until you should wait, especially close to the fence. Close to the fence, we're not even talking about the original animal touching. We're talking about the Choro. We're talking about the Vlad. You would think it's not even the original animal that you designated as cartoon. Maybe, therefore, you shouldn't be required to bring it right away. Wait until it's fattened up a little bit. Nevertheless, the fact is you're supposed to bring it on the first yomtiv, on the first yomtiv they can. As a medegashim has a different explanation, which means that we're not talking about you actually put them to threshing. It's true, first but the same. Once you designate the animal touching, it's a threshing. Even if the animal on its own went and started threshing, you have to pull it away and bring it apart. So according to that Tana, that is what we're learning from the word kiso vasa. Nothing about vlobis and tmuris in general, but about this kind of specific place where if the animal is out grazing or eating or stressing or whatever, that you still need to go and bring it to the carbon, and none of those are valid excuses for bringing it. Okay. So in summary, that's how it's going to be. So we have the first rice set up bones. So everybody agrees that vlobis and tmuris are brought to the carbon when it comes to slumming. The vlobis and tmuris are slumming are brought to the carbon. One time we're learning it from and it says, therefore, that means that applies whether the original animal was a cow or a balmum. And the other time I learned, it from Rakha the Secha, so you know, and we didn't ask them of the Bishmol and the Rakha, whether we need the word Rak to teach us that there's an exception to that, or whether we learn it from Osama. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yezer Omer Vlad Shlomim Moyukrav Shlomim. Rabbi Yezer said that the baby of the Shlomim is not born Shlomim. Again, as Rashi says over here, it means that Zomus, it means you have to leave it to die, like the Chafas HaMesa, and according to Rabbeinu Gershon, what the other receiver would say is you have to leave it to the Chachamim, you can have the Chachamim say you do bring it as a carbon. Now it seems to be repeating from the previous, as Tosha points out, it seems to be repeating the opinion of the Chachamim from the previous Mishnah. One answer is so the question says, okay, previous Mishnah mentioned a Stam Mishnah like the Chachamim, and our Mishnah is telling us you should know there's actually a Machlokes on the subject. Okay. Armor of Shimon, Lenichuku Avlad Shavlad Vlad Shlomim, Bavlad Vlad Tumor, Shalikrav. Shimon says, no. Everybody would agree when it comes to the third generation. So you had an animal of Shlomim, and now you have the grandson or granddaughter of that original animal, or you had an animal of Tumura, and now you have the grandson or granddaughter of that Tumura. So what is that? That Reb Shimon says everybody would agree that you're not makriv that. What are they arguing about the second generation? You had an animal of Shlomim, and now you have a baby of that animal, or you're makriv that. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, you've never come to me. That Rabbi Eliezer there says you're not makriv it, and the Chachamim say you do. So then we'll see in the Gemara itself, we'll have different understandings of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara continues. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Pakias gave testimony in front of the Chachamim, Al Vlad Shlomim Sheyikrav Shlomim, about the baby of a Shlomim that you do bring it as a Shlomim. So not like the Tanakhama's understand, both the Tanakhama and the Shlomim actually understanding of Rabbi Yezer was that you do not bring it. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Pakias are saying that no, we actually can give you this, that in fact it was actually brought to the Chachamim. And Omer Apapius, Apapius adds a further detail, and me made Jehoshaphat Parash of Zichai Shlomim, I can testify that we had a cow that was supposed to be a shlomim, that was a shlomim. Apapius said, obviously, had drink all of this, and the aders that they're giving is probably after the korban. Most of the aders that we find, most of the time, it's by the hay, so-and-so, most of the time, it's in Yavna after the korban. But the Yeshua and the Papias are both lived through the korban. So the Papias are telling about something that happened while the business was standing, that we had an animal, we had a cow of Shlomim, Ba'achamnuah Pesach, we shechted the mother and ate it as a korban on Pesach. Ba'achamnuah Shlomim B'chag, and then we ate the baby also as a Shlomim on Chag. And we'll see in the Gemara what Chag means, whether Chag means the following Shavuos or whether it means the following Sukkot. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. I'm on a pami on Rabbi Yechanan. My time with Rabbi Yezer. Why did Rabbi Yezer say that Zlab Shlomim or Zlab Shmura is not brought as a Korban? Because Omakra, because the pasuk says Ve'im Zevach Shlomim Korban Lashem, if his Korban is a Zevach Shlomim, so he darshan the word Ve'im, he darshan the word Ve'im as if it said Ve'im. As if instead of a chilek under the halach, it had a seres, and therefore it results in the word the aim, meaning the loy vlad, so only the mother, not the baby. Oh, malay Rav Chiya Ba'aba Rabbani, so Rav Chiya Ba'aba asks Rabbani, Elamalata, by your logic, you're telling me that Rav Eliezer is going to word the aim to be to through the vlad. What about when you have what about when it comes to a carbon toilet? If a person is bringing a shlomim specifically as a toda, so the toda is a subtype of shlomim, are you telling me according to the Yezer that the vlad is not brought as a toda? The chitema hachinami, so maybe in media, the hotanya, we learn in a blazer. How do we know the blood of a toga, because a toga can also be a female animal, or the tumura of a toga, or the exchange of a toga, or you lost the original animal and you bring the substitute instead? Minayin, how do we know that you bring them just as a toga? Come upon an email toga, they come welcome. Therefore, the prophet says, if on a toga, no matter what, as long as it's something that has to do with a toga. We don't find that the Yezer arguing. We don't find that the Yezer arguing with that. We don't find that the Yezer arguing on that. Now, of course, you could, of course, follow the Yezer arguing on it, just like he argued in the Mishnah. But Hagoy Sakura points out the difference is that in the Brisa, it mentions Vlad and Tmura and Chavisim. In the Brisa, Rabbi Yezer mentions Vlad and Tmura and Chavisim, all in the same breath. The Brisa, that mentions Vlad and Tmura and then Tmura and Chavisim, all in the same breath. We don't ever find Rabbi Yezer arguing about Tmura and Chavisim. He's only arguing in our Mishnah about Vlad, implying he agrees on the other two. Therefore, we can't assume he's all doing with this razor. So in that case, then, so what is he doing with the him over there? They're not based on the word im or aim. But it's exera that I want. Exera. Shalom yigadim mehem adorim adorim. It's exera because otherwise a person might raise herds and herds of them. Now, why would he say that only by shlomim, not by toda? After all, toda is a type of shlomim. So Rashi says the reason is because a shlomim is more common. A toda is less common, and in general, the chachamim don't make zeros on less common situations. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's reason, not based on anything d'oraisa, not based on the word im, but based on a greater breath. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Amr Rav Shimon le'nechlaku fuller. Rav Shimon said that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim do not disagree that the vlad or that the vlad does not grow as a carbon. They're only arguing with the original vlad itself. So now we have a question. Hey, Sikatan, what does Rav Shimon mean when Rav Shimon says they didn't argue about the vlad? When Rav Shimon says they didn't argue about the vlad shor yikra, what are they arguing about the vlad? That lo yikra, el yikra. So hey, Sikatan, what does Rav Shimon mean? Lo nechlaku shor yikru el yikru. Does he mean that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim did not disagree about the vlad and vladis? Say that nobody says lo yikruvu, rather ela yikruvu. In other words, in the Mishnah, when Rav Shimon says lo nechlaku al vlad shlomim shelo yikrav, what does that mean? Does it mean they didn't agree, that they didn't disagree, both of them agree shelo yikrav, that you do not bring it to the carbon,
Or does he mean that, or does he mean maybe that they didn't disagree that they shouldn't be, nobody held it shouldn't be brought, everybody held it is brought. So what does he mean? Does he mean nobody disagreed and said don't bring the blah blah to the carbon? Rather, you should bring it to the carbon. Or does he mean they didn't argue, nobody argued and said you should bring it to the carbon, but rather you shouldn't? So Rabbi says it's logical to say that what Rav Shimon means is that they didn't disagree about the blah blah, and nobody said you shouldn't bring it, rather yikruhu. That Rav Shimon would say, both Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim would agree that the blah blah you do bring as a carbon. Oh, my time. Now, why would Rav Shimon say that? Because he would say, ad kan l'chalig Rav Eliezer alei d'rabbana an ela b'vlad, because Rav Eliezer would only disagree when it comes to a vlad, because, as we said before, once you have a vlad, then already there's a concern that he's going to raise herds and herds of them. Av a vlad akroi ba'almahu, but that you should have a vlad is a very rare thing, that a person should keep his shlomim until he has a vlad, and then keep the vlad also. It's not such a usual thing for a person to do that. So therefore, maybe the Chachamim didn't make a Zera, because again, it's a rare situation. Rashi brings another explanation that because of Vlad, Rabbi Eliezer might say, don't be makrivit, because then other people are going to start raising Adorim. But when it comes to a Vlad, nobody remembers that this Vlad originally came from Shlomim. Therefore, it's not going to mislead other people. Anyway, so Rabbi says that's what Rav Shimon evidently means. He means that Rabbi Eliezer would say, when it comes to the first Vlad, you don't bring it as a carbon on the grounds of the Gzera. But when it comes to the second Vlad or later, then you wouldn't have a problem bringing it as a Shlomim. Either because it's a rare situation or because it's not going to mislead anybody, because by that time, everybody has forgotten the past history. Rabbi Shurban Levi says, no, the other way around. Lo nechleku sheyikruvu, ela lo yikruvu. Rav Shimon means nobody disagreed, Rav Eliezer or the Chachamim, and claimed that you should bring the Vlad as a carbon, but rather everybody would agree. Even the Chachamim would agree that, according to Rabbi Shimon, maybe that you do not bring the Vlad as a carbon. My time, why is that? Because ad kan l'tligi rabbanon alei Rav Eliezer ela b'vlad, because you could say the Chachamim disagree with Rav Eliezer only when it comes to the first generation Vlad. Then they would say, okay, you know, he's not necessarily trying to raise Adorim and Adorim. He's not necessarily trying to raise herds and herds of animals from it. It happened that it gave birth, fine. Out of Vlad, but when you already come to the third generation, to the second generation after the original Shlomim, Mitoich Ma'asera Nikeret Ma'ashatoi, you can already see from his actions, you can already see what he's thinking, Dilagado Kaboyle, that he wants to raise herds and herds of animals, and therefore the Chachamim will hold, that we don't allow you to bring the second, that we don't allow you to bring the next generation animal as a shlom. So it comes out, Tosfos says, that there are actually, according to Rabbi Shurban Levi, there are three opinions. You have the Chachamim, you have the Tanakama of our Mishnah, the Tanakama of our Mishnah against Rabbi Eliezer, who says that, in the previous Mishnah rather, who says that it doesn't matter how many generations we're talking about, as the previous Mishnah had said, no matter how many generations have passed, you still bring it as a Shlomim. You have Rav Shimon's understanding of the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Shurban Levi, that only the baby of the Shlomim is brought to the Shlomim, but not the later generations. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying that none of them are brought. Whereas according to Rabbi, you only have two explanations. You have the Chachamim and you have Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shimon is not a third opinion. Rabbi Eliezer is just clarifying what Rabbi Eliezer said. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Chiya taught a braisa which supports what Rabbi Shurban Levi explains in what Rabbi Shimon is saying. The braisa says, the braisa quotes the pasuk, "Im kesev hu makriv." The pasuk says, if a person is bringing a sheep as a korban shlomim, so the word kesev itself implies. Now, the word kesev itself implies, as Rashi says, vlad tle, a baby animal.
the Vlad Rishon Carter, Vlad Shani, and Carter. Therefore, it teaches us that only the first generation baby is brought in a carbon, but not the second generation baby. And when it says who, when it says in Kesev, who Makrib, so the who Karev and Vlad Kalakar Jim Karev. It means only the baby of the Shlomim is brought as a Karevan, but not the baby of other Karchim. So we see that the Braise is saying that only the first generation baby is brought, not the second one. That follows Rabbi Shulam Levi's understanding of Rav Shimon. Because according to Rabbah, everybody should agree that you could bring it. Now, actually, Tosis points out, I mean, we said before that Rabbi Eliezer and even the Chachamim would say that it's only a Zera, so therefore it would really only be, this Vlad Rishon Carter, Vlad Shani, and Carter would really only be an Achmas. Okay. So again, we have to ask, that Tosfos is pointing out that since we established before that the reason why we wouldn't bring, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even the Vlad Rishon, and according to the Chachamim, certainly not the Vlad Shani, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi's understanding anyway, the only reason for that would be because of the Gzeira, Shemi Yigadam and Adorim Adorim. So therefore, the words that are here in the process must obviously be an Asmachta. Okay, so again, we have to ask, if we're using the word who to exclude other kind of kachim, to exclude vlobit of other kind of kachim, so we have to ask the same question as we did on Amud Aleph, vlob demai, what kind of animal, what kind of kachim are we talking about that we have to exclude the kate, that we have to exclude the vlob from being brought up, right? We're talking about an ola or an asha, they're male animals, they don't have vlobit. Vloib ne vlobim, they don't have a vlob. The id chatos, if it's a baby of a chatas, we already have hirchta gmiri lod l'mitha azla. We have already Allah HaMashmissina that vlad chatas goes l'mitha. Therefore, we don't need the word who to exclude it. Amr Ravina. So Ravina says, the mute is l'isuyev vlad hamoser. The mute is to tell us that you don't bring the baby of an animal that was designated as ma'is behema, that you don't bring it as a carbon. You wait till it develops some more. The Gemara says, Vlad Hamo Seder Tlomani Kura. Why do we need a pulse to tell us that? We know it automatically. Avora, Avora, Mibcher, Kadamala. After all, we know many dinim of Maitre Behema by Beta Shava on the word Avora, from Bechor, because by Bechor you have by Maitre Behema, Koloshe, Yavor, Takas, Ashavet. And we learned in Bechor, we learned a variety of dinim that we learned from that Zeta Shava. So automatically, they would know that. But now, when it comes to a bechor, you're not bringing the vlad of a bechor as a bechor because a bechor doesn't have a vlad. Again, a bechor is a male animal; it doesn't have a vlad. But automatically, we would know the same thing applies to mice of Ahima. Why do we need a pasuk to tell us that? The answer is yes, we still need it. Akadat Hamina ain't done an extra machine yet, because we would think, as we discussed a few days ago, that you can't derive something that's possible from something that's impossible. In other words, we could say maybe if were it possible for there to be a Vlad Bechor, then it would be brought as a Bechor, but biologically it's impossible because a Bechor is always a male. Therefore, you don't have a concept of Vlad Bechor, but that's not to say that it couldn't conceive, that's not to say that it's excluded on practical grounds, but it's not necessarily excluded on halakhic grounds. So maybe you would not be learning from that to Ma'aseh Behemah. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Pasuk is telling us, you're right, maybe that's the case, as Rabbi Akiva says, ain't done an Epsher, Mashi'i Epsher. Nevertheless, I'm giving you the Pasuk who to tell us don't think to try and exclude it. On the basis of the comparison with her, I'll give you a pasuk that tells you that the blood mice is not being brought to the carbon. Okay. Continues the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah, Hey, Rabbi Shimon, it says it's Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua. We said Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias had given Avos that the Vlad Shlomim is brought to the Shlomim. And then Rapapias had said, I have a separate Avis, which is that we had a cow of Shlomim, which we ate on Pesach, and we ate the baby on the Chag. Now, there's more aspects. We have a whole sugya in the Sechter Rosh Hashanah, in the first Perek, on the dinim of Baal Ta'achar. The Torah tells us that when you designate an animal for a korban, you have to bring it within a certain amount of time. The Gemara discusses over there a few different opinions how long you have to bring it before you're over on a loisah there. But the question is, Rava says in that sugya, kodshim, that when it comes to kodshim, which you have to bring as a korban, kiven sh'over aleim regel echad, as soon as one yom tov of the shalosh regelim passes, and you didn't bring another korban, kol yom v'yom over aleim b'es b'bata achar, b'es b'es supposed to be, then every day he's over on an echad. Rabba hold, the truth of the over on the lo se'aseh b'bata achar, you're only over after three regelim, is that halacha? But when it comes to the esser, that when it comes to the esser, that you're supposed to bring, you have an esser that says vos the shama v'avesim shama. You can come there to the Beis Mikdash and bring whatever you're obligated, and find that as soon as you come, the first yomtiv you come, you have to bring your korbanos. And therefore, if you didn't, Rava says, then you're over on an esser. So the question is, now the thing is, chag in Gemara terminology usually means sukkah. So why are we saying they ate the mother on Pesach and then they waited until Sukkot to bring the baby as a korban? The question is, ma'aseres bo'im, basically. They should have already eaten it shavuot. Now, Pesach itself, you could answer, okay, maybe the baby wasn't 8 days old yet, come during Pesach, and therefore they can't bring it as a korban yet. But shavuot, it's already for sure old enough. Why did, according to Rabbah, they were over on a mitzvah eser? Once they didn't bring it on shavuot, and you're not going to say that Apophis and his family were over on an eser. So the answer is Amar of Zid Mishmed Rava. So the Zid answers in the name of Rava. Kigon Shaya Choyla Maaseres. Okay, the scenario could have been that the animal was sick when it came to you. So therefore, and you can't bring it as a korban as long as it's sick. Rabbi Hanan Alachi had a different explanation, that it means not that the animal was sick, but that the owner was sick. And therefore, they couldn't be Olu L'Rego, therefore they weren't over. Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Ashi says a different answer. My chag nami dikotoni. When the Mishnah uses the expression chag, what does it mean? Chag shavuot. It doesn't mean shukas, as chag usually does. It means shavuot. It means the next yomtiv that came up. Okay, so the Gemara says v'idach. So why does Rava not like that explanation? He says kol hechid toni pesach toni aseres. Because whenever the Mishnah speaks of the Yom Tov Pesach, and then it's speaking about Shavuot, then it doesn't call it Chag, because that would be misleading. It calls it instead Aseres, and it'll be clear what Yom Tov it is. So Rava doesn't want to use Rav Ashi's explanation that Chag here, unlike usual, means Sukkot, means Shavuot. He wants to say it does mean Sukkot, as Chag usually does, and therefore he's forced to say that the owner or the animal was sick when it came to Shavuot. Okay, the question is, Yehochi Mayas of this day. Okay, so according to Rava, then what's the chiddush of his testimony? Of course, according to both of them, the question is, according to Rava, that they brought the baby on Shavuot, and according to Rava, that they brought it on Sukkot because the animal or the owner was sick during Shavuot, or according to Rav Ashi, that they actually brought it on Shavuot. Either way, what's the chiddush? The answer is La Puki. The answer is that that's all it is. The Papias wants to buttress, he wants to strengthen what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. Rabbi Yeshua is saying a general Eidos, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that Vlad Shlomim Yidubun is Shlomim. So the Papias is also doing the same thing. He's saying also, I want to tell you, not like Rabbi Eliezer. He said, Jama Vlad Shlomim, Leikrib Shlomim, that Rabbi Eliezer says that you don't. So he brings Eidos that you do in fact bring another carbon. So he's not coming, his chiddush is not when they brought it, his chiddush is that they brought it at all, where Rabbi Eliezer would say that you don't bring it at all.
That's the chiddush.
So that's that. So the Machshon had assumed Rabbi Yeshua wants to make one point with his Eidos, and Rav Papias wants to make a different point with his Eidos. And the Gemara is saying, no, Rav Papias is just saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua said, just giving an actual example where there were Machshon of Vlad Shlom, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay.